Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook and I'm delighted to be in your company again. Christian Basics, more from John Hall. We are considering together, here on Serving Today, how to teach new and untaught believers the basics of the Christian faith, so that they have a solid foundation on which to build their Christian lives. We started by thinking together about the doctrine of Scripture, the Bible. It is so important that all Christian believers appreciate and benefit from the Scriptures, as it is like the daily food which will nourish us spiritually and strengthen our faith as we read, believe, and act upon it. So far, we've seen that the Bible is the Word of God, and therefore is absolutely reliable. We've also seen how Jesus himself considered the Bible, and last time, how he used the Bible to overcome temptation. Well, we're going to begin today with another example of how Jesus used the Bible himself. It was on an occasion when others were arguing with him. With the help of John Hall again, and when Derek French spoke with John for us, he began by asking him to explain the incident to us.
Yes, Derek, there's an example of the Sadducees who themselves didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they told the story in Luke 20, 27 to 40, where a woman married several different men as they each died, and who would she be married to in heaven? And so they sought to trap Jesus over the question of resurrection and marriage and the life to come. And you see there that the Lord Jesus said there's no marriage in the life to come. But to settle the question about whether there was resurrection or not, he quoted from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. He says that Moses called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And he concluded, "He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Perhaps you could read the whole of that section to us, Luke 20, 27 to 40, Derek.
Some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?" Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are the children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive."
So he uses the word of God to settle the argument, Derek. And then when he's accused of blasphemy over his claim to be the Son of God in John 10:35, Jesus quotes from Psalm 82 and verse 6 to show Israel judges were in this poetic form called gods. And he then says, "The word of God came to them," and summarises his argument by saying, "And Scripture cannot be broken." And so the Word of God for Jesus is Scripture. And Scripture, because it is true, because it is the Word of God, cannot be broken. It must be accomplished. And so we've established that the Lord Jesus, both formally, when tempted, and when faced by arguments, saw the whole of the Old Testament to be God's Word, and therefore to be true, and used it to establish truth and to sort out arguments.
John, a question arises there. How can we be sure that Jesus also viewed the New Testament in the same way as he viewed the Old? Because it wasn't written, was it, until after his resurrection?
No, it wasn't. But Jesus promised, before he ascended, that the apostles would have the Holy Spirit to help them and to be led into the truth, and that they would remember what he had said. I wonder, Derek, if you could please read two verses from John's Gospel, John 14:26 and John 16:14.
This is John 14, first of all. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. It's a lovely promise, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes.
And then the one from John 16:14. He, that's the Holy Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So he's obviously going to and did teach them and reveal to them and remind them of what Jesus had said.
That's right, and the Holy Spirit did that, and they wrote the New Testament down. The New Testament is the work of the apostles or those closely associated with them who wrote down what the Holy Spirit reminded them of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry and teaching, just as Christ had promised.
It's lovely, isn't it, really, to see how God so carefully guarded that his word would be written.
That's right.
And gave the help needed.
And because he has given us it, and so wonderfully done that, we must read it and pay attention to it.
Yes, and of course we can trust it, can't we?
We can indeed. Yeah. That's right.
John, can we go on a stage further then and look now at the way the actual writers of the New Testament considered its content?
Yes, Derek, I'll get you to read the Bible verses and then I'll comment on them. First of all, we look at what the Apostle Peter said. We've read this before, but it's worth reading again. 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21.
And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
And so what I want you to notice there, the Apostle Peter said God's word came from men as God the Holy Spirit carried them along. He gives us the way that the Scriptures were written, but he sees the origin as coming from God. The next quote is also from the Apostle Peter, 2 Peter 3:15 to 16, please, Derek.
Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction.
Notice here he uses the word scriptures to describe Paul's letters, clearly seeing them as the word of God. With the Old Testament, he links Paul's writings with the scriptures and calls them scriptures. Next, we come on to the Apostle Paul's view. Some verses that we've already read, but we'll read them again, please, Derek. 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17.
Yes, and Paul, he reminds Timothy how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Notice that all Scripture is God-breathed and it's able to make you wise for salvation. It's worth knowing and reading and listening to and obeying so that you might be saved. But let's look at again what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13.
And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe.
You see, Paul saw himself as bringing not his word, but God's word, and was true, and it was work in them. I hope the word of God is at work in you. We'll next turn to a book that's called Hebrews, and the writer of that book wrote in chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3, Derek, please, about how the scriptures came to us.
In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven.
And so you notice there the Old Testament, which Jesus said was God's word and was true. God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in various different ways. But now he has spoken specifically and finally through his Son, who is God from heaven.
John, as he's come with this word of God from heaven, what's the implication of that then for us?
Well, here is absolute truth, your God speaking to you. The implication for us is that we must read this word or get someone else to read it to us so we can understand it. But it's most important that we believe it and act upon it and know the scriptures making us personally wise for salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, we've been confronted by the preciousness of God's word, the Bible. It is the only book that can tell us the way of salvation. So being sure we believe what it says is vital for our spiritual well-being. This is especially important because sadly there are some who claim to offer salvation but who are completely false, even though they may sound very convincing to the untrained mind. Since the Bible is such a reliable book because it's God's word to us and its message of salvation through faith in Christ is so essential, we need to test all who claim to be able to bring us spiritual and eternal blessings by the teaching of the Bible. The Bible makes it clear that there is no other way of salvation except through faith in Jesus Christ, and all other ways are therefore to be rejected. The Apostle John wrote in his first letter at the end of the New Testament about this very thing in chapter 4 and the first verse. He declared, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And the way we conduct that test is by comparing and contrasting their teaching with the teaching of the Bible. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah said the same thing in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to his word, they have no light of dawn." There were people in Isaiah's day who were claiming to be superior in their teaching, but were deceiving the people and leading them away from God. And Isaiah was very clear that if that teaching did not agree with the teaching of the Bible, then they were false. They had no light of dawn. In other words, they were in spiritual darkness. By sharp contrast, David describes the Bible in Psalm 119 in this way, in verse 105, as a lamp and a light for the believer. So it is the Bible which directs us in the right way, because it directs us to Christ and all the rich blessings found in him. Well, that's all we have time for here on Serving Today. Do write to us if there are any questions you have about what John and Derek have been sharing with us. The contact details follow shortly. So, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May we know God's help to faithfully proclaim his word. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.